This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Ultimate Marvel Podcast, your podcast cloak of levitation. I'm Jack Flag Sutherland, and with me is Ronnie the Baron Zemo. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
That was my lame attempt at a Kevin Smith podcast intro.
That was pretty good.
And I actually, as lame as that was, I actually had to think through it. What's up, man?
There's a lot of stuff going on in the Marvel world, it seems like.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, I guess, there always is, it seems like. But there's tons of stuff in the comic realm of things, and in the TV show of things, and in the movies.
And I got a gigantic Spider-Man hanging outside my window that now I got to take down. And, oh, and speaking of Halloween, I've eaten way too much candy the last couple days.
Yeah. So, speaking of, did you see a lot of superhero or Marvel-related costumes?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's like, you know, if you go to Walmart, that's the whole aisle is like Marvel DC characters.
Right.
But yeah, usually the little kids. Like my I have two little kids. Well, one's not little. One's 9. The other one's 5.
Right.
And the 5-year-old wanted to dress up as Spider-Man. The 9-year-old would not be caught dead wearing a superhero costume. Unless it was something like edgy. Like he said some of his friends are wearing Deadpool.
Right.
Which I don't really get, but okay. Like, did they all see that movie?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
He didn't see it. But he knows who Deadpool is now via his friends.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a couple Deadpool. The older they get, the more creative they seem they want to get with their – the more creative and more, like, gory they want to get with their costumes.
Right, yeah. That's – because my kids are all older, so, like,
yeah.
Two of them – well, I have a junior in high school.
Oh, wow.
A sophomore in high school, and then 2 8th graders.
Oh, jeez.
So, my daughter went to my sister-in-law's house to help pass out candy, but she dressed up as like a frat boy to pass out candy. And then our two high schoolers just went with their friends and just hung out. One went Pokemon Go hunting, probably, and the other one just
right.
went and socialized or whatever. And then the other 8th grader, just he didn't care. He'd rather just sit here and Netflix or watch TV or PS4 or whatever. He was like, we can go to Walgreens tomorrow when it's on sale and buy candy half off. So I don't want to have to. And I was
it's
like,
free,
hey,
though.
Hey, that's true, but, you know, you don't want to hang out with your friends. He was like, I'm in 8th grade, getting ready to be a freshman next year.
So he's done with trick-or-treating for
I'm
now.
I'm done with trick-or-treating, yep.
Oh, man. 8th grade, so I got a few years. That's not that far off, though, from my 9-year-old.
Right.
He's in 4th grade, so you're saying 4 more years and he's going to be done with it?
Dude, cherish it while you can. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the sad thing about my house is that, you know, both of my kids are still kind of little, and I know I've eaten, like, way more candy than them the last couple of days.
Right.
And the reason I know that is because, like, we only have allowed them to have, like, 1 or 2 pieces a day.
Right.
But then when nobody's looking, I'm, like, down in 4 or 5, like a hypocrite.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well.
Let's talk some Marvel talk.
Yeah, man. Go ahead.
I was just saying, where do you want to start at?
I want to get right into Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I originally thought we probably wouldn't talk about it until after Friday when it comes out. However, now I'm like super jealous because you saw the pre-screening, right?
Yes.
And I haven't. But this could be kind of cool because I'll be kind of like the completely ignorant questioner, and you can enlighten all of us with your Sorcerer Supreme insight.
Well, it's not like I'm super important and, you know, get free passes to stuff, but
apparently you are.
Well, when I was in high school, and it's a fairly, I live in a fairly small town compared to everybody else that's in our circle. I was the summer of our senior year. I started like my freshman sophomore year working at the local theater, and then we used to have, like when I was in like second grade, a drive-in, and then they shut down. And so then fast forward to my freshman year, and they wanted to reopen the drive-in, but they had to build the new theater out by where the drive-in was. So now it's like one of the only drive-in theaters, or not one of the only, but one of the select few drive-in theaters in the United States that's left and working.
Right.
But
we got one out here. I don't remember where it's at, but I used to go when I was younger.
Yeah, I think I looked like a couple weeks ago. I think there's less than like 30 now.
Yeah.
In the whole United States. But right. Anyways, I was assistant manager by the time I was a senior, which was my best job ever.
Right.
And so I'm friends with the manager that's out there now. And they always get their movies a couple times or a couple days ahead of time. And then you have to put them together because it's still on, some of them are still on reels. So that way you have to preview it to make sure that you spliced it together properly.
Right.
And so we always, I mean, even back in the late 90s, you know, that's one thing that I had to do was stay late and watch and make sure I spliced it before a big movie opened.
Sure.
And so they were going to do that. So that's how I got to see Doctor Strange early.
Wow. So you saw it at the drive? You actually saw it at a drive-in?
No, I saw it inside.
Okay.
They have five theaters inside and then
gotcha.
A drive-in.
Okay.
Which it's actually opening in the drive-in this weekend as well out there. So
yeah.
Which I think this will be one of the last weekends that the drive-in will be open because here for long it'll start shutting down because of the season.
Yeah. And I assume like most of our, at least our initial listeners won't have seen it. So right. I guess no spoilers, but
yeah.
But what did you think?
Actually, I thought it was pretty amazing for. I mean, I'm not.
You had a pause there. I was like, oh, which way is he going to go with it?
No,
pretty.
Well, I'm trying to like not be spoilery. So, like, I had high expectations going into it because I like Benedict because I like Sherlock and. And stuff that he does. So, and then, you know, I love the Doctor Strange book that Jason Aaron does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I was kind of looking to see if there's any similarities, but like we talked about, but the only real similarity is it's Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I was assuming that because the comic is a. It feels a little on the light side to me, whereas the movie seems pretty dark. But
yeah, well, it's not dark in like Suicide Squad type, or you know, or how Batman vs Superman was dark, I guess.
Yeah,
but
right.
Just because it's like on the dark mystic side, I guess.
Right.
Which is cool. The whole tone felt good, and there's lots of stuff in there that's cool.
Yeah. Now, did it tie into the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe at all?
Yes.
And I know you can't say how.
Right. And there's also little, like, Easter eggs, too. Like, throwaway
things. Is there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Are there other character appearances?
Well, yes and no, I guess. Because I can't really... I'm not going to be spoiler-y.
Right, so. Right. But I want to know. Somebody out there doesn't want to know, so I need to ask.
So maybe, maybe not.
Maybe, maybe not. That kind of means yes.
Well, you take it for whatever you will. But I, like, like we were talking about last episode, like where each Netflix movie has a different, or Netflix
yeah.
series has a different feel, and each Marvel
right.
movie has a different feel. This has
sure.
its own feel as well.
Right.
But still in the same wheelhouse and formula of the Marvel movies.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess like Claire showing up in Luke Cage is kind of a character appearance. But
right.
then it's the same. But that's not a huge one. You almost expect her at this point.
Right, right.
Whereas you're simultaneously watching it thinking, could Daredevil make an appearance? Or,
right.
You know, they kept talking about Matt Murdock whenever they need to reference a lawyer. So I was like, oh, yeah, I know a lawyer.
It's right.
Like, well, you know, where
which,
is he?
Which is it going to be him or is it going to be the chick
it's gotta be
lawyer?
Him. Right. Oh, right. True.
Or is it going to be Foggy for that matter, you know?
Yeah. True. I saw that like the or I heard that the initial international sales were kind of through the roof.
Yeah.
Like they released this in some countries before here.
Right.
And it's like I mean the sales
like
are
already
incredible.
Like 86 million I think overseas.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's doing pretty good, which I'm surprised for a lesser known character like this.
Right. Well, that and I mean it. Yeah. I mean, without being stereotypical, you know what I'm saying? It's Doctor Strange, so like it released in Asia first, right? China and Japan.
Oh, yeah, true.
And so you wouldn't typically think that they would hop on board with it because, like you said,
right.
it's Doctor Strange, so it's not like.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I heard that it's done better internationally than like Man of Steel, for example.
Right. Yep.
It's like Superman's the second most popular character in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit surprised with that, but.
Yeah. And then I don't know if England has it or not. I don't think it's released in England yet because I would assume that it's gonna go big over there because. You know, that's where Benedict's from.
Yeah.
Or where he's
true.
Most popular, or where he got his start from, I guess.
Right.
But.
Yeah. And the early critic reviews that are in seem pretty strong. I think Rotten Tomatoes was like 93%, 92%.
Right.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, but he still got. I mean, there's still superhero movies out there that Rotten Tomatoes didn't get right, also.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and you know what else that means? That all the critics are like are at it again, like secretly supporting Marvel.
Yeah, right.
Hating on DC.
Right. we get that every time.
Yeah, I can't address that subject because like I've never been a big DC fan, so I would naturally lean Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But you read both.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any Marvel bias among movie critics?
Maybe. It's like what we said is like, I think that the critics noticed that Marvel has the formula down, or a successful formula down, as to where
yeah.
DC's still trying to get their footing.
Sure.
So yeah, maybe. But for hardcore nerds like us and. The listeners, you know, I mean, it's like the best of both worlds if you look
right.
at it that way.
Yeah.
You know,
I
have
sure.
a couple of friends that won't go see a DC movie just because it's a DC movie.
Really?
And then I have another friend that's a huge Marvel fan that, or a huge DC fan that won't see the Marvel movies because, or if they do, then they nitpick them to death, you know?
Yeah. That's ridiculous to me. Because, I mean, I lean Marvel because that's my history has always been with them, so it's sort of nostalgic for me sometimes. But if I get – like I'm reading the Wonder Woman and Superman, and
right.
the more I get into those titles, I mean, come on, it's really not that much different. You could slap a Marvel label on there or, you know, and throw some Marvel character in there, and it's the same concept.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a superhero universe, and
right,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I want them all to do good.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I could never pick a side because the more superhero stuff that's coming on my TV or at the theaters or in my pull box, which kills me most weeks, you know, is amazing. Because we didn't have that stuff when we were little. We were like begging for that stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then, you know, now like our kids are like overabundanced with it. And I was like, you guys don't know how lucky you are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do get – I'm more excited to see, like, a new Avengers movie than I am a new Batman movie. But that doesn't mean I want them to do bad, or I don't want to – yeah, I want to pay $10 and go see a crappy DC movie.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So would you – what would you grade this 1 to 10, or can you even – or is it too early?
Yeah, I don't – I'm going to go see it again this weekend. So,
okay.
With my kids, or at least one of my kids.
Oh, right. That's what I, the other thing I wanted to ask you is it's pretty kid friendly.
Yeah, it's pretty kid friendly. I mean, there's a couple of parts that might be squeamish, but it's no Walking Dead or anything like that, you know?
Right.
I would say it's more, Arrow than Flash, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Because, you know, Arrow's on the darker side of that world.
Right.
And Flash is more of the...
Yeah.
I guess I would say it's more like Civil War tone than like Avengers tone, you know, if we're going to keep it.
Gotcha. So, like the Civil War movie?
Yeah. Or, okay. No, Captain America Winter Soldier style.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll see. Well, I mean, yeah, that's fine. Like, but like I took my kid to see, we have a sort of tradition, like I'll go with him to see these Marvel movies.
Uh-huh.
And actually I took him to see Batman and Superman too, which he was fine with, even though it was, I think he was a little bored at parts. But like I didn't take him to see Deadpool. I was like, okay, this is too much.
Yeah.
So I went see that with other people.
Yeah. Well, if he's seen the majority of the other ones, this will be fine.
Right in there.
I'd say it's more of the tone of like Ant-Man style than Guardians of the Galaxy.
You know? Oh, Ant-Man was his favorite.
Well, I meant tone-wise, you know, where it's semi-serious, but it has its funny moments as to where Guardians was like outlandish.
Sure. Know? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, cool, man. Well, we mentioned Luke Cage last time, and we were pretty positive about it.
Right.
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 But since then, there's something that bothers me about Luke Cage that I didn't bring up last time, because I really hadn't thought much about it.
Okay.
But I've sort of listened to a bunch of other podcasts now about Luke Cage, and it sort of made me dwell on a little bit more. And now this thing that's bugging me, it's sort of bugging me more.
All
and
right.
It's why wasn't Luke's relationship with Jessica, and you know, they had a pretty traumatic experience together.
Right.
But why wasn't that ever a thing in Luke Cage? Because like if I'm remembering correctly, wasn't he possessed by Purple Man and actually tried to kill Jessica Jones at one point?
Yeah.
Which that is like, I mean, that's as traumatic, if not more so, than any of the stuff that haunted him in his past, I would think. And it happened recently.
Right.
So like how was that never brought up in Luke Cage? Because it had just happened, right? I mean, Jessica Jones was set right before Luke Cage.
Yeah. I would say that this was his second time coming to the barbershop, right? Like, he came to the barbershop when he first got out.
Yep, yep.
And then he started his own bar.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the bar blew up. Spoilers, in case you haven't seen Jessica Jones, but we've had enough time.
Sure, that's like episode 3 or something.
Right. And then, now he's back at the barbershop, which... I see where you're dwelling on that, but I thought more this was more of him like finding himself again, and
yeah, it was. But they mentioned I'm drawing a blank, but didn't Claire or not Claire, somebody mentioned Jessica Jones in the movie, like called her his girlfriend or something.
Right. Yeah. Claire did.
Just to like throw it in there. Uh-huh. But I don't know. Just seemed like you just went through a major traumatic ordeal with her. And now it's like,
Yeah, Jessica actually killed his wife, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. None of that stuff was me. I'm not sure that stuff tied together well enough.
Right.
To sort of close those loopholes.
Right.
And the other thing, I'm wondering, like, how they're going to reconcile Luke's relationship with Claire once the Defenders get going. Because if Claire is sort of that glue that holds the team together,
uh-huh.
Wouldn't that there be friction between her and Jessica?
Could be, yeah.
It just seems like that could be a problem. I mean, maybe that's the storyline. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then and Misty too, right?
Right.
Misty
and Claire had to sort of come to grips with things in Luke Cage.
Well, right. I meant with Misty and Jessica.
Right. Yeah. Is she going to be in Defenders? I guess we have no idea.
Misty is, and so is Karen Page. Yeah, they have a teaser for it.
Oh, wow.
That shows both of those characters. So, yeah, lots of coffee has been passed around. So
yeah.
We'll just have to see.
At least as far as Luke's concerned, he needs to have coffee with Karen, and he'll make all the rounds.
Right.
Well, we'll see what happens there. Because I don't remember their relationship necessarily ending in Jessica Jones.
He left before the like final episode in that.
Did he?
Yeah, like after he was brainwashed or whatever. Oh yep. No, he didn't leave. I guess Claire was healing him or whatever.
Right.
So yeah, there was no definite ending there.
Yeah, and in the comics, they're like married.
Yeah.
And have a kid.
Yeah. Who grows up to be Captain America.
Okay. Well, I meant in the recent comic.
Yeah.
Like in Power Man and Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah. Well, in a recent comic that's out now, she's the new version of Captain America.
Oh, okay. You're telling me something I don't know about.
Oh, yeah. Because, man, I just read that one, too. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't Death of X, because that...
That's out today, by the way.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. Which is great. But, yeah, I don't know which title it is, so... Listeners yeah. will have to let us know, or I can tweet it out later.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's a character. Maybe it's in Civil War II. Yeah, it's in Civil War II. Where all the kids are like leaving or whatever, and they talk about how Danielle has her dad's strength. Invulnerability and strength, but she has her mom's attitude, I guess.
I do remember that. I didn't think that much about it, though. Interesting.
Because she's from the Ultimate Universe, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. Since we're on TV shows, we didn't mention S.H.I.E.L.D. last time, I don't think.
Right.
Did we?
No, we did not.
I guess we should. I mean, I think here's my take on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
And Ghost Rider. So the graphics, I've come to expect, you know, they're not movie quality.
Right.
They're not even always Netflix quality.
Right.
But in my opinion, like with mainstream TV shows, you sort of have to adjust your expectations. Otherwise they fall short.
Right.
But with that being said, as far as like ABC shows go, I think Ghost Rider has been pretty kind of badass.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I think I find myself more interested in the show when he's featured on there than when he's not.
So
what's your
So with S.H.I.E.L.D., did you watch it the whole way through? Like, what I mean is, like, when season one came out, you were okay with it and thought it was great, and then the next season, or was there slow periods where I see the majority of the people have? And then when it tied in the Winter Soldier, that's when it started getting better.
Yeah, so I watched it when it first came out. I watched like one or two episodes and I didn't like it at all. I couldn't get into it. It seemed corny. It seemed I didn't know where they were going with it, and I stopped watching it rather quickly. And I think most of the people I've talked to didn't like it right off the bat.
Right, yeah.
But then something, I don't remember what it was, but something, maybe people talking about it, something prompted me to go back and watch it again. And I did that, and this time I sort of, stomached my way through the first few episodes, and as the season went on, I started getting more into it. And then when the Inhumans hit, because I've been reading Inhumans for a little while now, and so that I really got into it when Daisy got her powers, and I've enjoyed it ever since.
Right.
But it's been the whole, I mean, the show's been sort of up and down for me since the beginning. There's times where I'm like, oh, this is really interesting, and there's times where I'm kind of lulled a little bit. But I think Ghost Rider's been more on the up for me.
Yeah. And that's what I was gonna say for me as well, is like when I started it, I was kinda like you, where it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna watch it. I know we're gonna have a season two because it's ABC and Marvel. But then, like, when episode 6 hit in the first season, when it tied in with Winter Soldier, and stuff started hitting the fan, then I was like, oh, now this is what I've been waiting for. Because before that, there was only, like, name drops, or, just Coulson was in it because he was in the movie, But then when they started tying everything together, because that's the whole tagline, right? Is everything's connected. It just seemed like it was off on its own little island until then. And then the end of season one ramped up. And to me, I thought like the Inhumans part was okay, but it didn't. It was like they wanted to do bigger things, but they couldn't because at that time, like the
Sure, it
Inhumans
was the new
movie,
movie.
right? And then, so they like held back a little bit, and I thought that stifled the show a little bit.
Now they,
But
because they
now,
dropped the movie, right?
right, yeah. And then, like now, like you said, with Ghost Rider, it's like back to being awesome again.
And I keep wondering, because every now and then these Inhumans pop up, and I'm like, okay, one day it's going to be like Medusa or somebody
Somebody
really.
well known, right? Yep.
Yeah, somebody really that's going to change the whole dynamic of Inhumans being in this universe.
Right.
But that hasn't happened so far.
No.
And now with Ghost Rider, I'm wondering if they're sort of backing off.
Right. And the biggest person from the Inhumans was Lash, right?
And
And
he's still around. He's like hauled up somewhere, isn't he?
right, yeah. Well, and I guess Reader also, but it's kind of like what I was saying is like they used the big reveal characters that they could at the time, and I think they should have like drawn it out more a little bit, but
The other side, though, if they go too far down that road, it sort of becomes an Inhuman show, not a S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
right, yep, agreed.
Now, I do like the way, though, that they've sort of taken a page out of what worked with Daredevil, which is not keep doing the same thing, but bring in an Elektra or a, the Punisher.
Right.
Which totally changes the show, but they've sort of done that with Ghost Rider,
Yeah.
where it's still S.H.I.E.L.D., but now we get to feature this other new cool character, and it's almost like his own show, interweaved with this show.
Right. And at first I was like, which I'll get into this later, but I have a rich history with Ghost Rider. But I was kind of disappointed that it was the Ghost Rider, the new incarnation of the Ghost Rider. But then I wasn't, because it kind of made sense, because it's modern stuff, and they don't want to maybe Johnny Blaze or Danny Ketch gets his own Netflix show, you know. So maybe that's why they were saving that. But
so is it? See, I wasn't big into Ghost Rider in the past. So are you talking about it being Ghost Rider as opposed to who was the other?
Johnny Blaze.
I mean, Johnny Blaze versus who was the other one?
Danny Ketch.
Okay.
No, I mean, which I guess we could segue if you're done talking about it, but like.
I thought Johnny Blaze was like the older incarnation.
Yeah, he is.
The older character.
Yeah. And then you had Danny Ketch, and now you have this one.
Ah, gotcha. Robbie Reyes.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I'm getting them mixed up.
Which,
yeah, that's sort of like that Spider-Man thing. A lot of people were hoping we'd see Miles Morales in the new event in Civil War instead of Peter Parker.
But it didn't let me. It didn't jade my expectations of it, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
My connection is my uncle is best friends with Javier Saltorres.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Which we just call him Harv. And he used to write or draw and ink and do pencils for the Danny Ketch series. And then the rebooted Ghost Rider one with Mark Teixeira in the early 2000s.
In the 90s?
In the 90s, yeah. He did the Danny Ketch run, but he also did the Johnny Blaze run.
Gotcha.
With Mark Teixeira when they rebooted it again.
Okay.
Like during Planet Hulk.
Right.
Style. Well, Prowler just came out last week. Prowler number one.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And this will be his first big two work since then. So I was kind of excited about that. Which Prowler ties in with the clone conspiracy for Spider-Man.
Gotcha. That's cool.
So I was pretty pumped about it, and I did get a copy signed, but and I didn't know. He just kept saying that there's bigger stuff coming.
Yeah.
And so, and I know that he's been like, and honestly, on Prowler, I think he's just like executive penciler or executive artist or whatever. So I don't even know what his role is, except for maybe layouts or you know this or that. But
yeah.
But to me personally, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And plus, it ties in with Spidey.
Of course. Yeah. So I wonder if they'll. I wonder if he's gonna. I mean, Ghost Rider doesn't seem like a character they can feature for multiple seasons.
No. Well, but I don't want to spoil it because you haven't seen the latest episode.
Right. I'm one behind you.
Yep.
I'll be watching it tonight with all this. It better be good with all the way you built it up.
Well, they could go multiple seasons with it or a spinoff even.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, are they, is Marvel even trying to create more ABC shows? Cause I mean, wasn't, Agent Carter on ABC?
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like it got great reception, even though I thought it was, I loved it. I thought it was a great show.
At times, I loved it even more than S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. I think I always did. It seemed like a very mature show.
But do you think that they set it up for a long term to have like 5 to 10 seasons of it, though? Or with the time period that it was in? Or was it just like a space filler type thing?
What's her name? Hayley Atwell?
Yes.
Did I pronounce that right?
Yep.
Like, she seemed like she's tried to get other people to pick up the show. She seemed like she's been advocating for it ever since it got canceled.
Right. Yeah.
So, which led me to believe that at least some people in the, you know, production room wanted it to keep going.
Right.
But, you know, it had the whole tie-in to Captain America.
Right.
Even though she wasn't in Civil War, they had pictures of her and they had the old incarnation. Was she? They had the old version of her in Civil War. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
So they had that tie-in, and I thought they could have done more with – I thought Howard Stark was a really cool character because he was you could see where his offspring would be somebody like Robert Downey Jr.'s character in Iron Man.
Right.
I thought they did really well casting him.
Well, I just meant, was there enough story in between like that time and what we know from First Avenger to make up enough seasons, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
And Haley's really, really short in real life, too.
Is she?
Yeah, I met her at a con, and I'm not the tallest person, so...
So you're saying it was too much on the graphics team to...
No, well, it's just awesome.
I never picked up on that from the show.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's how I was, like, going in, and I was like, oh, well... you know how it is at a con.
Yeah.
You get to go to one next weekend, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody, even like Robin Lord Taylor, which is Penguin from Gotham.
Right.
Like, he's really short, too.
Okay.
And, like, you never, it just doesn't register in your mind when you see him on TV.
I would expect him to be kind of short, based on the character at least.
Right.
But you're right, in the show, he doesn't seem short.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, I mean, I think that's another reason I wanted to keep going, because I thought she was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought she was awesome in that show. I mean, she was in The First Avenger, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So her acting skills are up to par.
Yeah. And she was also in Winter Soldier, but she just had lots of old makeup on or whatever to make her look older.
Right. Yep. I remember that too.
But that's the controversy, right?
Yeah. Speaking of controversy.
Yeah.
Wasn't there some this week?
Oh, there was tons this week. Or not tons, but there was one huge thing, yes. With Chelsea Kane and Mockingbird.
Yeah. Why don't you explain it? Because, I mean, I've read about it and I've heard some stuff about it, but I'm not even sure I've wrapped my brain around this whole thing. It seems kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, and I was reading Mockingbird from the beginning. It just was one of those titles where I wouldn't keep up with it like every Wednesday.
Sure.
You know, it might build up one or two issues and then I would read it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when this whole thing blew out, I was behind two issues. So, you know.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is basically the cover of
issue 8.
Yes, with the feminist movement and yada, yada, yada. So everybody that's blowing up and bullying over the internet or whatever probably hadn't even read the damn book, honestly.
Right. Well, and just in case people haven't seen it, the cover is really nothing more than her standing like at the beach with a lemonade,
yep.
I would guess, and mm-hmm. she has a t-shirt on that says, "Ask me about my feminist agenda."
Right.
And that's it.
And it's a great cover.
Yeah. But I don't understand why that cover set it off, because it seems like the story the whole way up until then is more controversial than that cover, right?
No. I mean, if there is...
Well, I mean her relationship.
Oh, you mean her relationship with Clint?
So, I thought the issue was that she had a relationship with two guys sort of at the same time, and instead of being a more traditional type romance, they were just sort of letting her do her own thing and kind of be this feminist that kind of goes against the grain and does things that are a little bit outside the norm.
Well, yeah.
As far as her relationships go.
Right. But, I mean, yes, you're correct. And the other guy is Hunter from S.H.I.E.L.D. Hunter Lance, right?
Okay, right.
But the whole point is, if it was a male character doing the same thing, would there be this big controversy? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I mean, I don't even get the whole thing to begin with, because it's like, even if you have a problem with it, why are you taking it so far?
Right.
Because the issue is that she got
death threats and bullied on Twitter and, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, to the point where she had to close her Twitter account because she was getting so much hate.
Right.
Hate messages.
Right. Which, you know, goes back to the whole Nick Spencer and Captain America thing.
Yep.
Right? The whole Hail Hydra thing.
Right. Right.
Which, I mean, come on. It's just like what we talked about last week, or at least my portion of the podcast last week was like, if you really feel that strongly about an imaginary character, then you're probably not right anyways.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong. There is people that feel very strongly about characters, about the characters we grew up with. And like Mike Myers, for example, you know, when he reads a comic book, he actually feels emotional about it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, is he going to go on an hour rant and tweet the artist or the writer, you know, bully tactics? No. Right?
Yeah.
Now, am I going to get upset if the clone conspiracy ends lamely? Then yeah, I'll get upset and we'll talk about it on the podcast or in our chat groups or whatever. But I'm not going to like send Dan Slott like messages that I wish people would shove hot dogs down his throat or something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I saw a quote from her where she said, "Oh, go ahead."
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
She said, "My day job is writing thrillers, bestsellers that have sold millions of copies, but I never had to block people like on social media until I started writing comics."
Yeah.
So, but I don't know any. I mean, but I was wondering when I heard about all this if it was even comic fans or if it's just anti-feminist people that picked up on it. And
exactly. It's probably the same. Like I said, it's the same people that haven't even read the damn book, you know.
Yeah.
So, and to me, the book's fantastic, dude. I know you haven't read it, but
yeah, I've heard good stuff about it though, and I heard it was pretty. I heard it was actually sort of comical. It's not like it was done
in a
mean way or anything.
Right. Yeah, and everything that the real life, and I'm putting my fingers in quotations, that tackles in that book, is done in like a subtle comedy way, really, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and have you read Hawkeye by Lemire?
Yes.
Okay, take that and mix it with like elements of Faith by Valiant, right?
Right.
And that's the book.
Hmm.
Because, you know, her whole thing, like,
well, you had me at Hawkeye, then you lost me at Faith.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
I got you.
It's what Faith should be, I guess.
Okay.
Or what we would want her to be. Not should be, because some people like that book, so I'm not going to dog on it.
No, and that's saying a lot, because, I mean, Valiant's pushing Faith because some of the underlying controversy has actually helped them.
Right. But, like the first three issues of this book is like her going and getting checked out because she's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So she goes on missions, and when she comes back, she has to go to the doctor's office to make sure that she doesn't have any radiation poison, or she's not getting any powers, or, you know, whatever.
I heard about that, which is kind of a cool spin on the whole superhero thing.
Right. So, and then, you know, it's the tie-in with Civil War too. So Clint just got convicted of murder for murdering the Hulk.
Okay.
Right, so she's emotionally distraught about that, even though they're divorced.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like she's an independent, real chick. You know, I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. So I, yeah, besides anti-feminist blowing up about the issue 8 cover, I have no idea why it blew up the way it did. Yeah, and like honestly, I could, if we play devil's advocate on it, I can see people being more pissed off at Nick Spencer and doing the whole Hell Hydra thing with Captain America.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Than with this.
Or even his whole like liberal spin on Captain America, which I don't know if you saw back when that when he first started Falcon, that was like featured on Fox.
Right, right.
Fox and Friends, I think their morning show.
Right.
About how this liberal writer has taken a traditionally conservative character and, you know,
right,
giving him this liberal agenda. I mean, I guess I could see where if you're ultra conservative, you would be upset about that.
Right.
But this doesn't even seem that significant.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
right.
I guess I kind of understood where people were coming from with the whole Captain America thing, which is still dumb.
Yeah.
But this, I don't even see where it's coming from besides the cover with her in the shirt, you know.
Oh.
Not once was it pushing the feminist movement, you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, geez, even if it was, I mean, who cares?
And this whole controversy thing has...
What do you got against women who support, you know, empowering women?
Right.
But whatever. I don't know. I guess I don't need to get into that.
Right. And it pushed the trade paperback volume 1 sales to where it's basically sold out everywhere now.
Yeah.
So
whose decision was it to cancel it? Did Marvel do that or was it her? I kind of hope it was her.
Yeah.
I hope it was her saying, okay, I'm not comfortable with the tension, and not Marvel just kind of cowering to...
Well, see, the sales numbers were decreasing also.
Were they? Okay.
Yeah. So, like, issue 1 sold, like, 33,000 copies.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And by issue 4, it was cut in half to, like, 15,000 copies. Yeah,
yeah, so. That's not going to cut it for Marvel.
Yeah. So it could have even been a mutual thing.
Right. Maybe it was just time. Well, but this could have boosted it.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I know people that started reading it as soon as this news came out.
Right. So, yeah.
But then at the same time, if she's not, I mean, if this is causing stress in her life, then
what's the point of doing it, right?
Yeah, you don't need that.
Right.
Well, cool, man. What else? You got anything else you want to talk about, or are we about ready to wrap it up?
We can wrap it up. I think that's about all I had, really, to touch on for this episode.
Okay. Well, I already made a lame attempt at an intro, so I'm not going to do it with the closer. So what's our Twitter? What's the
show Twitter is at Ultimate Marvel Pod.
I'm following it.
I'm following it.
And everybody else better be following it, too.
And then you're at Jack Sutherland.
Yep.
And I'm at Rombar316. And if you have any comments or questions, you can also email us at ultimatemarvelpodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome. And maybe next time we'll get even deeper into Doctor Strange because we'll both have seen it.
Sounds like a plan to me, buddy.
Oh, well, see you next time.